blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 348, stanzas 1 through 4. And with joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before Him there, and bow before Him there. 1 through 4 of Psalter 348. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 80. Psalm 80. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 80. To the chief musician upon Shenem Edith, a psalm of Asaph. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? And thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, and they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the men of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-seeing God of heaven, who dwellest above this world, who controllest everything, who bringest it to a certain and determined end, wilt thou from thy high and holy place look down also upon us in this afternoon hour? Lord, it was the desire of thy servant who did beseech thee when he looked about himself, when he did look upon that vine which thou hadst brought out of Egypt, which thou hadst planted, and which had corrupted itself, and that had not watched, but had gone to the idols of the heathen round about them. And thou didst break down the hedges and the wall, and thou didst permit them to be taken into captivity, and there the song of thy people could not be sung. Lord, wilt thou look upon us also in the days in which we live? For thou knowest how that it was in thy church heretofore. Thou knowest how many of our forefathers, of whom that we have received that instruction, which we come to the end of in this afternoon hour. And thou hast given an abundance of thy grace, of thy instruction. Lord, thou knowest what we do lack. Oh, remember us. In a special way, when we are called to give instruction, Lord, that thou may teach us, that we also may teach others. And when it is indeed true that thou hast called and that thou hast sent, Lord, wilt thou also then open our mouth in the midst of this people who have come up in this afternoon to receive a little instruction. But then we feel our great ignorance. Lord, wilt thou remember us, and wilt thou fill us with a double portion of thy Holy Spirit, that we may know what and how to bring thy holy word, but that there indeed may be also those in whom there is that true desire, which is planted by thy Holy Spirit, a desire for instruction, not only in an outward way with the natural ear, but Lord, could it be that thou hast taken away all the wisdom of men, and that thou hast brought men, a boy, a girl, to feel how ignorant that they are, that they may receive that instruction that they cannot miss as they travel to that never-ending eternity. Lord, thou hast given it in the days of our forefathers. It was the knowledge of self, the knowledge of what a man is and what he remains while he is here below in himself. And thou didst give instruction in who and what thou art. Also for those who have sinned everything away, Lord, may thou also give such instruction in the midst of us, to young and old among us, that we may not be deprived of that great privilege.
of the instruction of Thy Spirit as we sit under the explanation and application of Thy Holy Word, that it may not testify against us in that great day of days. Lord, glorify Thy own name. Thy servant to beseech Thee to cause Thy face to shine. Turn us again, O Lord. And wilt Thou do so also in our day for the glory and for the honor of Thy holy name. Lord, wilt Thou look upon all that need Thee in special ways in this life. And when we have heard that indeed in this morning hour, that also some in our own midst, they have seen how that in one moment that a man can be called out of this life and then to stand in that moment before his Maker. Lord, wilt Thou remember those who were brought to that scene in this morning hour? Lord, wilt Thou help and strengthen them in the way that they must go, in the labors that they must perform, but that it also may be brought by Thy Spirit into their own hearts, that they could no longer remain without God in this world. Remember, Lord, all that mourn and all that are in trouble and in distress. Be with husbands and wives. Be with children. Where there are difficulties in families, wilt Thou give love one for another. Give self-denial. Give obedience of children to parents. Give a love for Thy holy word. And Lord, may Thou remember us as parents, giving instruction unto our own children. What a great responsibility lays upon our shoulders, that we may not leave it for our catechism instructors, that we may not leave it for the teachers within our school, but that that responsibility may be bound upon our own hearts as fathers and as mothers, and that we may be found faithful before Thee, and that that instruction also may be blessed and sanctified for them. Lord, do remember us in the week that lies before us, when there will be a conference, and when there will be meetings, and that concerning the instruction that takes place in the schools of our denomination, Lord, may Thou remember us, because then we all as teachers are called to instruct, but we need to be instructed. Wilt Thou then go before each and every one, and that is called by Thee to this great task, and wilt Thou endue with Thy Spirit from on high. Lord, may Thou give a little rest in the weeks wherein we are, and that also our teachers may be enabled with strength and diligence to take up their task once again. And may Thou remember those that will meet also as from the synodical committee and the principals, Lord, when they are overseeing all the operations that take place from day to day, and the great responsibility that also lies upon them. Lord, may Thou give us good meetings to gather, and may Thou bless the efforts that are used, and wilt Thou supply in all our needs. Go Thou with Thy word as it is taught and as it is preached over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Remember especially those to whom thy word has never come, and who have not the light of thy special revelation, that may feel within themselves that indeed there is a God, but do not know who he is, do not know their state and condition before him, the relationship to him, nor how that it is possible to come into his communion again. O Lord, what a dearth in the world in which we live. So many millions and millions of people going on to their own soul's eternal destruction, and then with no knowledge of the one and the only true God. Lord, wilt thou remember in mercy, and wilt thou send forth servants into thy vineyard to go forth and to bring thy word also for them, and that many may be called out of nature's darkness into thy marvelous light. Be with all that are persecuted for the sake of thy name. Be with all that are at war. Be with all those that rule and reign over us. Be with all those that are helpers and assistants of others in this world, doctors and nurses and medical professionals. Lord, wilt thou remember us in the consequences of sin wherein we have brought ourselves, the great misery that is experienced from day to day in this world. Oh, may man be brought to see that he has here no continuing city, and that is sin that has caused all this misery, that he is apart from God, that it may become his greatest misery, and that he may have a desire to return again. Oh, Lord, remember us and be with us in this afternoon hour. Lord, may thou help us in the preaching of thy holy word, as thou hast done in the years that have gone by. Lord, when we stand before it again in this afternoon, oh, we ask of thee for a little liberty, for a little freedom, and may there be a place in this afternoon for thy word to enter in the hearts of young and old, for the great and for the eternal glory of thy holy and thy worthy name. Oh, forgive. Forgive all that is sinful without and within, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Psalter 210, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. With hands stretched out through all the night, uncomforted, I sought for light. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 210, 1, 2, 4, and 5. Our Father, which art in heaven, that is congregation, the address of that prayer that the Lord Jesus has taught his children to pray. Thus, he taught them to pray as children. Why? Because they are children. The Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And except that a man be as a little child, and that he cannot enter therein. Then as a dependent child, we have heard that instruction, and that the Lord Jesus has instructed his children to pray when he has gone from a step to step. And now we come to the end of that prayer. And in the end of that prayer, then there is no difference from the beginning and the middle, but he teaches them also to end as a little child in humble dependence upon him. And this we wish with the Lord's help to consider together in this afternoon hour from Lord's Day 52, questions 128 and 129. Question 128, how dost thou conclude thy prayer? Answer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, and that thereby not we, but thy holy name may be glorified forever. Question 129. And what does the word amen signify? Answer, amen signifies it shall truly and certainly be. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of him. So far, our Lord's Day. Confidence in the prayer of faith. First, the foundation of this confidence, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Second, the expression of this confidence, amen. Confidence in the prayer of faith, the foundation of this confidence, and the expression of this confidence. There is one thing, congregation, that stands in the foreground. As we have gone with our fathers from petition to petition in this Lord's Prayer. And what is it that we can see so clearly? That is the poverty of the Church of God in themselves, their ignorance. Hallowed be thy name, grant us rightly to know thee. Their foolishness, teach us rightly to order and direct our whole lives. Their waywardness, their rebellion, thy kingdom come, Rule us so by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Depravity of their will, thy will be done. Grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will. Their dependence, give us this day our daily bread. Be pleased to provide us all things necessary for the body. Their guilt, forgive us our debts. Their corruption, their evil nature, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So the Lord Jesus, he has laid it out even in that prayer what that church of God is, what they remain to the end of their life in themselves. And that is now what that church must experience. More and more, the longer that they live, even to the end of their life. That is not a way of increasing, but even, as John the Baptist said, a way of decreasing. Thus it is, young people. And we can see so clearly, so different from that religion of the rich young ruler. Because there it was a religion where that man has increased. He has increased in his own religion. He has increased in his own strength. He has increased in his ability to serve God. And that he felt himself able to keep those commandments of the Lord. And so when you will be spared in your life, we know not that for a moment. We heard that this morning. But when you will be spared in your young life to listen a little, and then ask the Lord to give you ears to hear and a little discernment. Because then we see so clearly the way that the Spirit of the Lord is working in his own children. Then there is a decreasing. Why? It is necessary. Because when the Spirit of the Lord is working, then he is making room for another one of the persons in that divine Trinity. And who is that? And that is the Son of God. But you will not hear that in much religion today. No, then there is much speaking about that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen a little and ask yourself only, is there truly room in the heart of men for what that mediator will bring to his people? For who that mediator is? Because we heard a little in this morning, he will be for them the all in all. In those three offices, prophet, priest, and king, then everything is contained in that Son of God for the salvation of his church. And that is because that people in themselves, they have nothing. And therefore the Lord Jesus, he has instructed his children to pray, to ask from petition to petition, everything from above. And why should the Lord do it for them? They do not deserve it, that is certain. They are not only miserable and needy, but they have brought themselves by their own will into that miserable and needy condition. Thus, they are also guilty. And now what a powerful motive to keep that people away from the throne of grace. Guilt. Did that ever keep you, congregation, from opening your mouth? Did that ever make you afraid to pray? because that you do not deserve it. And then it is felt, how do I dare to ask this of the Lord when he knows everything? He knows not only my outward life, but he knows also my inward life. Then the Lord Jesus presents his church also with a very powerful pleading ground. When he comes to the end of this prayer, and that is to counter what the devil will bring in the heart of a man. What does the Lord Jesus tell his people to pray? What does the Lord Jesus remind also his children of? And then he teaches them to pray, for thine is the kingdom. What does that mean? That means that people are to lay before the Lord the ground, the reason why that the Lord should answer their supplication. And when they cannot see, when they cannot find that reason in themselves, then the Lord Jesus will give that people, he will put it in their own mouth. He will give them a reason now to lay before the Lord. What is that reason? That they may say to the Lord, O Lord, thou hast an interest in thy own church. That is a church that belongs to thee. It is not something that is just for the interest of men. No, but it is thy very own people. Our Father, say, all this we ask of thee, because thou, being our King, art willing. Being our King, for that reason alone, he is willing, thus that he is taking reasons out of himself, that he may answer the supplication for the needs that are felt and that are experienced in the heart of his own people. And thus he teaches his people to pray upon the ground of the good pleasure of the Lord, on free and sovereign grace to hell-worthy creatures. Why? Because it pleases him. Because he has elected them from a never begun eternity. Because it is his own word. And because he is from everlasting to everlasting the same. Why? Because he has made a covenant. Because thou, Lord, hast sworn an oath. And because thou wilt be true to that word which thou hast sworn even to thine only begotten Son in that covenant of redemption. Why? What is the ground upon which that people are taught to plead with the Lord in their supplications? That they may say, Lord, for thine is the kingdom. And thou hast sworn an oath, and thou hast sent thine only begotten Son, and he has also fulfilled it. O Lord, look at what he has done, and that he has gone in that way of suffering, and that he has given himself even unto death. Lord, look at that judgment, that justice that he has fulfilled. Why? What is the ground? What is the reason when that people feel themselves to be so unworthy? O Lord, hast thou not promised unto him an inheritance? Hast thou not promised unto him a seed that would serve him forever and forever? Wilt thou then answer my supplication?
Wilt thou then fulfill the needs for the body, but especially for the soul, that I also may be part of the fulfillment of the Father's side of that covenant, that I also may be one of that seed that thou wilt give unto thine only begotten Son? Why, Lord, hast thou not promised, thou that art true, that thou wilt send of thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt send it as a sharp two-edged sword in the hearts of those who are dead in trespasses and in sins? O, send him also to break down and to build up. Send him also, Lord, to uncover, to discover. Send him also, Lord, to wound and to pour that balm of Gilead into those same wounds.
Thus, the Lord Jesus points his people unto the work of a triune God. He points them to that work that they may observe that work, that they may meditate upon that work, that they may supplicate on the basis of that work, a work that can never be forsaken, because he will not forsake the work of his own hands. No, the Lord cannot do it for the sake of a sinful people, but he is able, he is willing to do it for his own namesake. Thus, he is not only willing because they are his people, but we read also here of his ability, because thou being our King and Almighty art willing and able to give us all good. If we were to go, boys and girls, to an earthly king, he has so many resources. At his own command, then he can speak and he can fulfill the needs of those who come to him. And yet, we read of Naaman. He also came to the king. And the king was shocked at what his request was. Then he came to him and asked him to cure him of his leprosy. Thus we may come to an earthly king, and that king may be so very willing. So it was with Naaman's own master, and certainly has provided him with every means that was possible in his hands. But he did not have the power. This is not true of the king of this church. Why not? Because he is almighty. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou being our King and Almighty art willing and able to give us all good. Thus, the church, they do not only have the will of a father on their side, but they also have the power of a sovereign. And why is that so necessary? That is so necessary because not only are they guilty and undeserving, and therefore the Lord must be willing because of some reason in himself, but it is so necessary that he will also have the power. Why? Because of their own weakness. because of their own inability, because in their own strength they are not able. What do we read? The Lord, that He has chosen the weak of this world. And therefore, when that people experience more and more in their life what that weakness is, and when that weakness is lived out in their life, then the Lord Jesus knew what was necessary to come over against all that weakness, not over against all of that guilt and unworthiness, but all also over against all of their inability. And thus, not only is He their king, it is not only His kingdom, but also they are taught to, as it were, lay before the Lord, "Lord, Thou art also powerful." There we see Abram, when he is 99 years old and his wife still barren, that the Lord is coming to Abram and He is saying to him, "Abram, I am the Almighty God." That was so necessary for Abram, that Abram would hear it, and that Abram would hear this over and over again. There is a church that needs an almighty helper. Over against all their inability, all their weakness, over against all their impossibility. Is that now what is lived out, congregation, in our own life? And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but Thy holy name may be glorified forever. Every Sabbath day, then we read how that the Lord says that I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Jealous over what? Jealous over His own name. Jealous over His own glory. We sing often, "All nature praises God." All creation, but also the salvation, the redemption of man that has all been designed, the purpose of it all, that is for the honor and for the glory of the Creator and of the Redeemer. It is that glory that the Lord also has in view in all of His dealings with His own children. The Lord says to His people, "For My name's sake will I defer Mine anger, and for My praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off." Of ourselves, we do not seek that glory. Or is it different? Do we ever observe what lays within our own heart? This whole world was created for His glory, also you and I. So what has happened to our purpose? Children, do you ever feel this? Young people, do you ever feel this? Because as you grow older, then there will be thoughts in your mind about my purpose here in the world. What I am going to do in this life. And then also those thoughts begin to come within, why am I here? Why am I created? And why am I preserved when others were not preserved in this morning? There is but one reason, and that reason is the glory of God. And the Lord is going to fulfill it. It indeed will be if we will never learn to humble ourselves, if we will never give glory to Him, then He will glory over us in our condemnation to all eternity. Thus, we do not give God the glory, and that is not only in the world, but that is also that old man that is lying in the heart of every one of God's people. And it is a people that must learn what we have actually done with the glory of God, and how that we have departed from that glory, the glory of God. That is now what the Lord Jesus is laying before His church as a foundation for the answer, for the supplications, for the petitions that have gone before. Quicken me, O Lord, for Thy name's sake, David says. For Thy name's sake, blot out, O Lord, mine iniquity, for it is great. For Thy name's sake. Thus David, he has been instructed by the Spirit in the foundation. The only reason that the Lord can answer such a cry, that Thy holy name may be glorified forever. And what is the congregation which the Lord will be glorified in? What is that greatest glory which the Lord is delighting Himself in? We can read that from the first to the last page of the Holy Scriptures. That is the glory of helping the poor and the needy. He glorifies Himself as a mediator to come and to stand in the place, in the breach between an angry God and a sinful people, to stand in that breach so that that people who deserve forever to be cast away may be received again into that blessed favor of their Maker. And the Lord is glorying in this. The Lord is glorifying Himself, how? As a Redeemer. That He may pay the price of those who are in debt and those who are not able to pay. This is the only reason that even the fall of men has been decreed by God, that it may bring glory unto God. Then it is possible that He would condemn all men and receive glory in His righteous judgment. But it is His desire to receive glory in the way of mercy and of grace. That can only come through that fall. Therefore, He is glorifying Himself. How? As a surety. He glorifies Himself as one who will stand in the breach, who will stand in the court, who will answer even as a lawyer in this world before a judge, but even more than a lawyer. One who is a surety for that people for whom He is answering. One that cannot answer for Himself. One that has not one answer to a thousand questions. This is what the Lord delights to glorify Himself in. He glorifies Himself as a physician. They that behold need not a physician, and they will never glorify Him. But those that are sick,
Yes, these will glorify him forever and forever.
We read in God's word, and that he calls himself a polished shaft. And that is that polished arrow. And that is striking the heart of the enemies of God and the enemies of his people. That is for a people who have no might against all that great company that comes against them. And that is now the people who have lived it out in their life. In whose heart is room for that blessed mediator who will magnify him forever and forever as that polished shaft who has stricken into the very heart of his enemies and who has destroyed every one of them. Oh, he will magnify himself. We see that in all the names that he has given in the helping of the needy and the poor. He magnifies himself as that shepherd, the great shepherd, to bring back again those that had wandered, that have sinned themselves outside of the blessed communion with God, and that do not know a way as a lost sheep, and that are not able anymore to come into his blessed presence. Oh, he is glorifying himself. He has sought that glory from that never begun eternity. And for that reason, he has decreed that awful fall of man, but also that blessed way of redemption, calling himself the bread of life. Why? That he may fill and those that are hungry, those that are thirsty, and those that are not able to give any fulfillment in their own life. Oh, this is now the glory that we read in the Word of God. The Lord says, I will not give my glory to another. Therefore, congregation, when we never will become as one hungry and thirsty, when we never will become as one that is sick, when we never will become as one who has no answer before our judge, when we always will have our own strength against all the enemies, then it is impossible that we should ever give the Lord that glory which he has destined only for himself. And therefore, when that is our way to the last day of our life, then we may be assured that the Lord is going to glorify himself in our condemnation forever and forever, that thy holy name may be glorified forever. By whom then will it be done? It will be done by an afflicted and a poor people who will learn to trust in that name of the Lord. It will be done by a people who have to ask of him, who will have to depend on him for everything, natural and spiritual, because they have nothing. The Lord is going to receive the glory for our conversion. What does that mean? That means that first we must find out that we cannot convert ourselves. And if he will be glorified for our salvation, then we must live it out. That we cannot save ourselves. And when he will be glorified for our redemption, then it must be lived out. And it must be experienced that we cannot pay our debt. If he will be glorified for our deliverance out of the prison, then we must learn that the key is on the other side of that door, when he will be glorified as our shield. Or then we must first have an enemy. If he will be glorified as the gift of God, then we will have to learn, and that we are not able to earn it of ourselves.
if he will be glorified by us as the friend of sinners, then a sinner we must become. And if he will be glorified by his people as the finisher of faith, then they will have to experience that they are not able to give or to exercise that faith in their own strength, that thy holy name may be glorified forever. There is the foundation. There is the foundation. And that a wretched, a miserable people, an undeserving people, may still fold our hands and we may bow our knees. And we may ask the Lord, despite who and what we are and remain, that the Lord would still have mercy on us. Let us sing Psalter 319, 1, 3, and 4. Give thanks and praise to God above. For everlasting is his love. Praise him, ye saints, your Savior, praise. Forever good in all his ways. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 319.
What does the word amen signify? Amen signifies it shall truly and certainly be. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. Amen. Congregation, that is the word that is used so often by us. And how often must we not confess that it is a word that is used so lightly by us? And yet it is a word that has such a great significance. It is speaking about something that is sure. It is speaking about something that is certain. Something that is as sure as God, as sure as His Word, as sure as His promises, as sure as His threatenings. It is a word that was often used by the Lord Jesus Himself, and He used it in the form of the word verily. And then often then He would say it doubled up. Verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen. Then the Lord Jesus spoke about the certainty and that the enemies of the Lord would be destroyed. And the certainty of the comfort of that true church. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be changed into joy. Verily, verily, amen, amen, truly, truly, what I say, He says, shall certainly come to pass. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is Himself called the Amen. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He is called the Amen. Why? Because all of that certainty, all of that assurance of that true church that is lying alone in that Son of God. It is because of Him that that church that is that has such a sure and such a certain place that it is impossible that they are falling out of grace. It is founded on His own work, which He said, it is finished. But it is one thing to be safe, and it is another thing to know that we are safe. It is one thing to be heard, and it is another thing to know that we are heard. Thus, what is established from that side of the Lord as so certain, as so sure, that is not necessarily felt within the heart of His people. Amen. That is a word of faith. But how little is that faith exercised in that word? Our prayers, they are so formal, they are so dry. And then that word amen, that is often used just as a kind of a confirmation of our own desire, but it lacks that assurance. Then what does that church need? Then that church that needs the exercise of faith. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. What do they experience then? Our fathers say, it shall truly and certainly be, for my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. That is what is experienced. A faith that is opposed unto all doubt. That is that faith that David may say, I shall go to him. That is to my child. That is that faith that Isaiah may come to Hezekiah when that enemy is still surrounding that city. And that he may say that that enemy shall not shoot his arrow there. That is that faith by which Job may say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. That is that faith that Paul may say, who shall separate us from that love of Christ? Congregation, there is no comfort in this life outside of true faith. That is where that rest and that peace is experienced in the soul of God's true church. The spiritual blessings, they are received how? They are received by that new life. And why only by faith? Because that salvation of the church, the end, the culmination of that salvation, that is in the future. But Paul says we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Faith. That is the rest, that is the comfort, that is the assurance of that true church. And it is only by faith that that name of the Lord is then glorified. That is in true dependence as a child who cannot see all that is behind the promise of his father, who does not know how that it shall be fulfilled, but it is enough that it was said by his father. Therefore, it is by faith that that name of the Lord will be glorified. But to whom does that faith belong? What does Isaiah say? He says, the Lord hath founded Zion and the poor of his people shall trust in it. It is again those poor that shall exercise that faith. It is again those poor that cannot help themselves that shall learn to use this word, amen, it shall truly and certainly be. It will truly be, even despite all my unworthiness that requires faith. It shall truly be, despite I am not worthy, despite the fact that I am not able to provide it. That there are mountains of impossibilities, yet it shall truly and certainly be. That is no poverty. No, that is great riches, more than all the riches that are in this world. It is by faith that a man already in this life becomes a possessor of that eternal inheritance. An inheritance that will never, we read in the Word of God, fade away. And in this life, their bread and water that shall be sure. That is enough. The Lord give a holy jealousy for the blessed comfort of that people by faith, people of the Lord.
James, he says, let him ask in faith nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. Double-minded man, he is unstable in all his ways. But to you it is not strange that the Lord, the disciples of the Lord, they have said to the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray and also increase our faith. Those two things you experience, they go together. Because as long as we have not faith in exercise, then we do not pray. And then we cannot say amen. And yet the Lord Jesus has said men ought always to pray. May we then cry to him, just as that man. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Congregation, the glory of the Lord, that is certain, that shall come to pass. And the Lord instructs his needy people who need everything from beginning to the end. And so it remains to the last breath of their life. And that is the people who may by moments, because of the kingdom of God, because of the faithfulness of the Lord, because of the ability of the Lord, they may say by moments, amen. And by moments, the glory of God may be received in a little measure here upon earth. By this one and by that one of that little remnant over the face of the whole globe. And those moments where an unworthy people, they may believe that they may receive everything out of the hands of the Lord. That is his delight. And then through his only begotten Son, oh, that we with our children may not be a stranger of that faith. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him, and that thou givest us to speak a few words even in this afternoon hour? Lord, give thy blessing. Oh, bring thy word, thyself into our hearts for the first and by renewal. Give meditation thereon. And that there may be not one of us and our dear loved ones that may have been born to eternally glorify thy just judgment in our own soul and body. But Lord, that thy glory, that it may be received even in thy grace and thy mercy, over us and over our children. Do it, Lord, not because we are worthy of it, but wilt thou do it for thy great and holy name's sake. Be with us in the week to come. Be with all those that travel. Spare over dangerous ways. Strengthen the office bearers, even next Sabbath. Bring us all together again at thy appointed time. Help us, each one in our labors in this world.
Prepare us to meet thee in peace and in righteousness. For Jesus' sake, amen. 381, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. I cried to thee, and thou didst save, and thy word of grace new courage gave. And the kings of earth shall thank thee, Lord, for they have heard thy wondrous word. Yea, they shall come with songs of praise, for great and glorious are thy ways, for great and glorious are thy ways. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 381. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.